You are listening to Processing Trauma Out Loud, conversations about trauma and healing from two women who are doing the work.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace and Cher with Processing Trauma Out Loud. Cher, it's so good to see you. It's been a few weeks. You went on vacation and I went on vacation, and it's just sweet to be back together with you in this space. Our last episode, we ended with the idea that we wanted to continue our story work themes. And today we are going to be discussing what is parentification in the context of complex childhood trauma. I'll just say briefly, my understanding of parentification is when a child has demands and expectations placed on them consciously, unconsciously, to provide for the parent what the parent should be providing for the child. So the child has this pressure to perform something. It can be, there's difference, you know, different ways that this can play out. Basically, the child believes that it's their job to function more as a parent.
It can look very different. It can be providing physical things. It can be providing emotional support. It can be providing in a variety of kind of ways that can look very overt or extremely subtle. And also, I want to add that parentification also can be when a child is called upon to provide parental support to other siblings, for example.
Yes.
So not only providing for the parent, but acting as a parent to other siblings. This also is an aspect of it that's really difficult.
You know, I was thinking about this topic over the last few days. Where I went with this was we want, as parents, our children to learn compassion and empathy, and that they also are able to contribute as a family unit. And so we have to be able to kind of weed through when is that good and healthy and helpful for a child, and when has it just been too much, too soon, and too fast? What do you think about that?
I think that's so true because, yes, there is a part of teaching and training our children and helping them grow and develop and become able to step into their abilities and to contribute. And that there's so much goodness that comes from that. That is a part of what helps us have a sense of value and meaning and connectedness. So there's goodness in that. But where it crosses a line into being unhealthy is when the parent shows up to the child from a perspective of, I'm needy and I need you to provide something for me, or I'm not going to provide for your siblings. You go do that. And this is not always said overtly, obviously. But most of the time it is not said overtly. It is something that we pick up on and that we learn. I think it would be good to just give some examples of what might that actually look like.
We work with lots of other women and know other women. This actually isn't uncommon in the realm of those who have experienced childhood trauma. So we know that this theme is very connected to what we've experienced to some degree and people that we have worked with. So there's lots of examples, but I'll give you a personal example. Most of our listeners know some of my story, but when I was 17, I moved away to place my son for adoption. And I lived in a home for unwed mothers. And I wrote a lot of letters during that time. I had no idea back then what parentification was, what role I began playing in the family as a 17-year-old. But my dad saved all those letters and gave them to me shortly before he passed away. I had not read those letters since I had written them. I mean, it was a big envelope. And I began reading through those letters and I was like, whoa, what is this? What is this in me that I'm writing my parents as a pregnant 17-year-old? and telling them, giving them advice, talking to them about my other siblings of what they needed, even giving them financial advice.
Yeah.
I was just shocked.
Yeah.
I want to say there's parentification in that role.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. And my curiosity is such that I want to say, okay, that was 17, but tell me about when you were 12 and tell me about when you were 8 and tell me about when you were 6. What brought you to be that girl at age 17?
I know that now, but when I first sat down to read those letters, that's all the information I had.
I know.
Until I went back and really looked through my stories,
yeah,
to see the little girl who was trying to wake up her older brother, 4 years older, and even in tears at time to make sure he got to school on time.
Carrying the load. And I'm thinking about the girl who said, we need help, said to a parent.
Yeah.
Help. Can you please get us help? And I think hundreds of other things along the way, aspects of your story that I know too. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you know, lots of stories where you easily see that playing out. And I also know a lot of your stories where you also held that role. Is anything coming to your mind that feels clear to you that you could share?
I'm thinking a lot about, and I wouldn't have been able to talk about this as much even a year ago, but recognizing the ways that my parents leaned into me for emotional support, that I really felt that I was the one. Now, whether this was true or not, but this was my perception, that I was the one that made sure that everybody in the house was safe, that when my dad came home, I was the one that tried to diffuse his anger so that it wouldn't be spewed all over, you know, everybody else.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
And I love the way you're still trying to take care of everybody in the story by not being sure.
Yeah.
But it is true because it's how you have shown up throughout your life in systems.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to say, in that moment where you said, I don't know if this is true or not, I still saw that little girl trying to take care of the people in the story.
Well, and I will say, I have family members who are living and who may be listening. I don't know. And I want to acknowledge that my perception of how I saw my role in my family may be different from their perception of what my role was. I think that was the thought that crossed my mind.
Which is different.
But I own the fact that this is my perception. I believe that I was called upon to be the parent of both of my parents in some ways, not every way, for sure. My dad was a hard worker. He provided our financial, you know, well-being and stability. And my mom cooked the meals and all of that. But there were a lot of areas where I felt that my presence kept the family safe.
I'm feeling some anger right now. And is it okay if we don't have to stay here, but we just did some episodes when you've had child sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
The data is so clear that you had roles that you were fulfilling for the adults in your life that were not only abusive, but what's the word that you used in that episode?
Assault, assaulting.
You were assaulted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Routinely.
Yeah.
Not once, not twice, but many, 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 many times.
A very crystal clear role of parentification there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I can breathe now. I just had this
I'm not sure I can though.
Okay.
I'm good. Okay. I know, you know, you and I have talked about this. This isn't a new place for me to go or recognize. This has been so much of my hard work is noticing and knowing the truth of this. And I will say, and there is grief there for my little girl, for my young parts that had to endure such cruelty, I will say, so much abuse, so much harm, So I'm glad for the work, and I'm glad for the work that also enables me to grieve that now. And grief has been hard for me to get to. And I think I'm gonna use that as the segue into this, because I think like one of the things about parentification that it takes away a child's ability to have needs. The mm-hmm. child cannot ask for what they need. All these years later and doing all this work, and like I needed to be able to feel the grief. And it has taken me so long to get to this place where I now can grieve. And like I have people around me that welcome me in this space and say, yes, you cry your eyes out, because it's worthy to cry your eyes out over this reality of what you experienced. But a child who is parentified, we are robbed of having the right to have needs and to be able to voice those needs and to come to our parents, not in every way. Like I said, of course, I came to my mom and said, I'm hungry, and she would get food. But what are the zillions of ways that I needed to say, I need rescue. I need attunement. I need your eyes to see me. And there was no way that I could ask for that to be met.
We had story group on Wednesday. Can we go there for a second?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can.
When it was your time to share, you were talking about how this last week has been for you. In a nutshell, you were showing up feeling that deep need for connection.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all witnessed you kind of struggle a bit to name, I'm feeling lonely and I'm feeling needy and it doesn't feel good. Can I just ask what it was like for you to be met? What happened for that little girl in that moment?
Yeah. I feel good tears coming even as I say this, but I came to that meeting knowing I was going to ask. Mm-hmm. I was going to show up and I was going to say, I need and I feel and I have felt lonely and disconnected and I just need you to wrap your virtual arms around me and, you know, like lavish me with love. And I was met. And as I knew I would be, I have this confidence that I can show up in that space with you and these women, and that I can say, yes, I know I'm a lot. And yes, I know this is too much. And I'm bringing it because I believe that you can hold me in this place and offer me welcome and offer me love, which you did. And one of us, our friend Sandra, raised her wrist to the camera and showed us a bracelet that she had made that said, I need help and it's okay.
Yes.
And I thought about that so much. I love like that. That's a good tattoo. Like just put that on me permanently, because like I could probably show up a lot of the time and say, I need help and it's okay. Do I do that in most situations? No. But am I learning to be able to do that in a few places? Yes. And it's beautiful.
We didn't say anything for a while. We were just listening. And then there was this long, we just sat there and you said the words, you know, I don't even know if I need you to say anything. You were taking in our eyes, you know, and I want to say your body, even over the screen. Of course, we do love to do this in person. I do believe there's even more ability to attune. Mm-hmm. But even the attunement that you were getting over the screen began to soothe you.
Yeah. It's this thing of resonance. And I've been studying this a little bit, that we perceive each other's resonance. When I'm sad, you can come to me in a space of I can hold your sadness. And that resonance from you helps me feel safe or whatever the emotion is, right? And that even can happen virtually, like just by seeing your faces and by experiencing, like you said, not even words, but all of the nonverbal cues that I was getting in that moment of sacred silence, where I could feel like, oh, yes, my body is being filled with this resonance of care that helps me know I am wanted right here, right now in this place.
And that will not change at any point.
Yeah.
And so when that need comes up to be held in that way, you're not going to be met with, oh my goodness, Cher, we've been with you the last five times. And, you know, we don't do that, because we know, one, that we have our own ways that can show up and have certain needs.
Yeah.
Well, historically, we shamed ourselves for having those needs. Now the confidence you have to say, hey, this is what's going on. So beautiful.
Yeah. And I think I've been talking with somebody recently who we're just kind of saying out loud, I need a lot. I was hurt a lot. I was missed a lot. I was all the things. And that puts me in the place where I need a lot and I'm leaky. So even when I get a lot, it doesn't always stay with me. It kind of leaks out. And then exactly what you're saying, like I might show up the next time and say, okay, you gave me a lot last time and I really love that, but guess what? I need more today. And the joy, I think, of both being on the receiving end of that and being on the giving end of that is really, it's love, I think, in a scope of fullness that I have not known before.
I love that. It makes me think maybe down the road, I would like to do an episode or two on what it means to keep our tanks filled, our love tanks, our emotional tanks. And, you know, there's a scripture that talks about being filled.
Yeah.
It doesn't just say be filled. It's one and done. It's like being filled. Like even God is wanting to keep pouring out on us because he knows we leak.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot more I would like to say about parentification, but I do want to just say a couple things. One, we share this with tenderness that parents can do this in little ways that are unconscious. We hope this provokes some curiosity that are you in putting on your child something that's too much for them? Now, we could do probably several episodes about that in conjunction with triangulation, where a parent is looking to a child in ways that your child being your best friend. We just want to say that this is an important topic and just one that you can be curious about and how you're showing up. Honestly, not even just with if you have little kids, but even our adult children, even though we do have more capacity and space to just be more friends as they get older, I still don't go to my children with my deepest needs.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. There's a lot more that can be said. And I feel like we hit on some really important things today. And I like where we went.
Yeah. And reach out, email us at CandiceShare@gmail.com. If something came up for you in this, questions, or even if you would like for us to go even further in this.
Yeah. Good.
Good to be with you today, Cher.
You too, friend. Love you.
Love you too.
Thank you for listening to Processing Trauma Out Loud. Make sure to check out the show notes for links to suggested resources and social media. Like, subscribe, and follow to keep up with our weekly content. And if you don't mind, take a moment to rate and review us. Your feedback is extremely valuable and contributes to the success of this podcast. One last thing, if you have found this podcast helpful in any way, or if you have questions on how to take the next steps on your healing journey, please reach out to us via email at CandiceShare@gmail.com. That's CandiceShare@gmail.com. Our sound engineer is Jeremiah Jones of Auditstory LLC. We welcome you to join us for more conversations soon. Take care.